Good evening and welcome to Chasing Prophecy on the UPRN Talk Radio 107.7 FM New Orleans, where we discuss anything and everything beyond the scope of normal. Remember to like us on Facebook. Now on Rumble and Instagram. I'm Jenny Nicasti, along with my co-host Sean Kelly and Jason Iampietro. Guys, how are you tonight?
Great. How are you doing, Jenny?
Apparently I have a little frog in my throat.
At least it's a little frog, not a big one.
Just a little frog.
How was your Thanksgiving?
It was wonderful, actually, awesome. Considering we were just coming back from being quarantined from my brother.
How'd that go?
It went a little crazy at first. I was really upset about the situation, but I went and got tested like about 5 days later and it was negative. So that was good. Yeah. Awesome. I was worried, you know, with the old, you know, I live with my mom. She's an older gal, you know, and I don't want to contaminate her in any way. But I can't believe. Oh, how did you guys Thanksgiving go, Jason?
It was pretty good. You know, it was the baby's first one. Yeah, and, you know, we got a lot of pictures and stuff, and he had a good old time, and just watching him dig into all the different food, it was really good. And I just had immediate family, like grandparents, and that was it. Real small.
What was the baby's favorite Thanksgiving food?
It started off as the mashed potatoes. And then it turned into just a mixture of everything.
That should be fun. I remember those days. Sean, how was your Thanksgiving? Yeah.
Well, my Thanksgiving was, I worked actually. After work, I went home and I cooked Thanksgiving meal and it turned out okay.
Wow. That's, so you cooked or did your mom?
Yes, I did. No, I did.
You know what, something, guys? I have never cooked a turkey.
No.
Never.
Wow.
You know what? I carved a turkey for the first time this year.
That's hard.
Yeah. And it went actually very well.
did you use an electric carver or was it with a regular knife?
Old school knife and big ass fork.
Good for you. Sean, do you use an electric knife?
Thanks, Pat.
No. Here, we do something different. I take off the wings, I take off the legs, and I take the breast off the backbone and I put it back together and we bake it. So you know, instead of carbon and stuff like that.
So you don't cook the whole turkey?
Oh, no, we do.
You cut it apart first.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's different. Now, how do you stuff your turkey?
We don't stuff.
You don't stuff?
Who are you? I don't even know you right now. Who doesn't stuff their turkey?
Me. Well,
I tell you what, my mother made the best stuffing this year. She didn't. This is the one that she puts in a pan. But I taste it and I said, I do keto. I go, oh my God, what is on here? I know what's on her. I taste butter. And she said, yep, she put butter on it. I said, oh my God, it was delicious. Oh,
it's making me hungry.
So good. It was delicious. It was delicious. I have to say, it was the best. It was the best one. Here, let me see. Okay. Just give me one. Okay, I hear you in the background, producer. But let's get on with the show. Okay, guys. So what do you think is going on to happen with what's going to happen with the election? Well, we're just going to say 5 seconds on this one.
Okay.
I think anything could still happen.
Me too.
Like, that's just where I'm at. You know, there's just so much on both sides. It's just like, well, let's just wait it out and see what happens.
Let's wait it out. Well, there's a lot of more stuff going on, huh, Sean?
Yes, there is. But for me, it just got to the point where I put it in my higher power's hands and let him take care of it.
Yeah, that's true. But my gut's telling me that Jed's not going to be in that White House anytime soon. And I don't think it's going to happen. That's my take on it. Okay. So I might be a little psychic there. I think I might be. Yeah. Now we got COVID and we got that in the background and we got a mix with the election fraud going on, allegations. We all need a little bit of a distraction. And I find that listening to my good friends at Audible, I can listen to meditation audios and some scary Stephen King books, throw in a little bit of that. And you can download my titles too and listen offline anytime, anywhere. And the app is free and you can install it on any of your smartphone devices, tablets, anything like that. And you can listen across devices without losing your spot with Audible. And if you can't decide what to listen to, don't worry. They have so many different titles that you can use your credits for up to 1 year, your credits on Audible, and use them to binge on a whole series if you like. And you can do that by going to www.audibletrial.com/chasingprophecyradio. There's a link on the website, chasingprophecyradio.com. You can find a link there and you can get a free premium trial. I just wanted to throw that into you. Yeah, Sean. Ooh. And listen, Sean, you know, with having psychic and mediums and you're a psychic and a medium, I think. And I think Jason is a medium too, because he connects with ghosts. But our next guest, guys, okay, it's really cool. And you, Sean, have something in common with him. He's in the military. Yeah. He was in the military, just cool. Like yourself. You were in the, well, you were in the Navy, right? That's a branch of the military, right? You were a sailor, right? Okay. I get them confused, okay? Don't you believe that people in the military, they share a camaraderie that the average folk don't? Do you believe that?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, I do. I just saw our guest, and right now I have a connection with him. So it's
good, great. Yeah. Well, I'm going to be bringing him on. His name is Dean McMurray, and he's the military medium. He's an internationally acclaimed psychic medium healer, and he's an ordained minister too. His story is so powerful and so authentic. It's unlike any other psychic medium out there, okay? I just want to, put that in there. And it's why people from all across the world, globe, are drawn to him for readings and personal guidance. Which is, I think it's pretty cool that he's in the military. Well, he was, I keep saying, or maybe he is. I don't know. We'll get to that. So his story is authentic, and why he's psychic, I want to find out. Why did this happen? I want to find out. So Dean's story, he spent most of his childhood in northern Minnesota, I believe. Dean's developed a deep love for nature and his country. Who wouldn't if they served for their military? I think that's amazing. That love of country inspired him to enlist and serve 24 years in the armed forces. Mm-hmm. And Dean's service brought him overseas on several occasions, and the last which awakened his psychic ability and set him on a new path in life. Well, tonight's guest hopefully will give us some clarity to these days ahead and into 2021. And I think we need it, and I think he's going to bring a lot to us. Dean, welcome to Chasing Prophecy. Welcome,
hey, Dean. Guys. Thanks for having me on.
I'm so glad you're Dean. With us.
First off, nice background.
Yeah, it looks thanks.
Maybe we have that psychic connection going on, right? I was like, which one do I pick? I haven't been on Skype so long. I was like, wow, look at the options.
Yeah
right, exactly.
Same here. And I'm on the background of MASH, if you can tell this is MASH.
I love that background. I love it.
I thought it would be good for you. But I found your story to be fascinating, Dean. I have a fondness for the military. I just find it so wonderful that people can devote their time to give into their patriot nature of the country. And that's why I wanted to have you on the show. I found your story inspiring, and I just wanted to know, how did you know that you were a psychic?
Sure. Well, the military told me I was. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. In my bio, like you read, I really wasn't aware of my abilities. And I wasn't, to be really honest, guys, I wasn't even open to psychics and mediums and spirituality at all until I had my own spiritual awakening. And I was in my last 3 years of military service. The last of my children was just born. I was in my early 40s, and I had just got back from overseas, and all this crazy paranormal activity started happening in my home. And I was quite honestly beside myself because I was kind of freaked out because, you know, from not being open to all of a sudden going into all this paranormal activity, you know, I would have been a lot more at ease, if you will, if there was somebody standing at my door with a with a baseball bat trying to break in, right? Something more physical, because that makes sense. You know, and right. And like, how do you deal with all of a sudden going from being trained to deal with insurgents to now dealing with spirits? Like, hello, who do you call? You know, and so, you know, I knew that my wife had been seeing a local psychic, and I was quite jokingly referring to her as the voodoo chick. And because that was my language at the time, you know, I wasn't a cynic, but I was a pretty devout skeptic. And so anyways, I quite honestly told my wife, I said, you need to call the voodoo chick right now. There's some wild stuff going on and we need to find answers. And quite honestly, she came over and was telling me that my deceased grandfather was in the home, and I wasn't in the mood, or I wasn't in the headspace maybe to receive a message, but I wanted her to make it all go away. Can't you just wave a wand and make it go away? That's what I thought. And I was very, you know, maybe ignorant at the time for me, because I didn't understand how things worked. And you know, and quite honestly, nothing changed even after she left. Quite honestly, the activity in the home increased, and clocks and pictures were flying across the room. Oh, I mean, goodness. Like poltergeist type stuff, right? And so I was like, holy crap, we need to get a handle on this. What's going on? And so I went back to her and I said, quite honestly, I don't know what the blank is going on, but, you know, and she was like, you haven't figured it out yet. You're a medium. And I was like, I do not want to be a, you know what, medium. And I think we were using some pretty colorful language at the time. But I said, I'm not asking for it. I don't want this. I was quite literally trying to push it away. And she said, you know what? That's not how it works, Dean. And I was like, why me? Why now? And because, you know, I was like, as far as I know, you know, I wasn't tapping into my powers years ago, you know, and she said, you know, sometimes it works differently for everybody. And so I really went, you know, and around this time I had a visit from my deceased grandmother, who quite literally pushed me into the bed.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And that was really the catalyst that sent me, I don't want to say sent me over to the edge, but it was really sent me on my journey of going, oh my God, if I'm a medium, what does that mean for Dean McMurray? Not, you know, and of course, what, you know, the first thing you do, okay, if I'm a medium, let's just start learning about mediums, right? What, you know, what's the dictionary term? What, you know, let's look at who's doing it on a national level, you know, and I think James Van Prague and John Edwards were the two biggest folks at the time. And, you know, and I was like, but that's what it means for them, not me. And I was like, what does it mean for Dean McMurray? And I quite jokingly said, you know, kind of the universe, I was, you know, kind of looking up and going, what am I going to be giving readings in my basement? You know, I bet you somebody was going, yeah, you will, in your basement and your garage and Ubers and in tour boats and anywhere else, you know, that you're asked to or guided to. And, you know, and that's been about 10 years ago. You know, like I said, you know, it was in my last 3 years of military service. So quite honestly, when I started developing my mediumship, I was still very much a soldier by day and a medium by night. Now, I know that sounds like a weird Marvel comic spinoff, right? But, you know, go ahead.
He said it's not at all.
But at the time for me, I felt that I was living two lives. Because I was concerned, you know, at least early on, my chain of command and what commanders and other folks, if they found out what they would, you know, do or say. And then towards the end, I was kind of the grumpy old guy getting ready to retire, right? And I was like, what are they going to do? Bend my dog takes, make me retire. It's like, and go scrub toilets for the last year, you know? Yeah. And so I didn't really care. I did, but I started being more open, is what I'm trying to say. And
what was your rank?
So I retired as a sergeant first class, or E7, with the Army.
Oh, cool.
So, and that's, sweet. And I have been retired full time about 7 years ago. So yeah, it's been a crazy, crazy ride, and you never know. And you guys know as well as I do, you never know, you know, what tomorrow is going to bring, how you're going to be asked to serve in a capacity, and, you know, one door opens to another. So
absolutely. How did your gift impact being in the military? Did you ever use it in the military? I mean, did you see anything, talk to anybody special, like a spirit? Yeah.
Well, absolutely. You know, like I was saying, and really in my last 3 years, and when it started to develop or developed, when I started becoming more open during the day at work, right? It was interesting because one of my fellow squad leaders, he actually showed up, and I hadn't seen him in, oh, good Lord, Afghanistan was 2003 for me. And I hadn't seen him since 2003. And he walked in, and at the time, we were still wearing DCUs and older camis and over in the sandbox. And he come rolling in his camis. And you got to understand that this guy died shortly after I left Fort Bragg. And then they came back from Afghanistan. They came stateside, and then they went right to Iraq. And unfortunately, he passed shortly after they got in country. And he showed up bigger than life at work. And I was like, I had to do a double take because it was just a solid manifestation. And I was just, and it was like, hey, I'm seeing another dude, and, you know, in camouflage. But then I was like, dude, what are you doing here? Like, you know, it's like, I haven't seen you in how many years? And then it was like, wow. Whoa, wait a minute, you died, you know? And then I was like, and then he disappeared. It was like, boom. And then I was asking, well, why was he showing up? Mm-hmm. You know, what was the message? And I kid you not, it was to the day of his passing. It was the day that he passed. And so it was the anniversary.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow. Whoa, that just gave me chills, right? And yeah. And I was like, okay, I see you. I know you're around, and more about validation. Hey, I'm checking in on you, right? And so it's kind of crazy. And so, yeah, did I start talking to or connecting with, you know, spirits while at work? Yeah. You know, and actually, right before I retired, I learned how to douse, if you guys are familiar with how to douse homes and shifting energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I had said was, I told the guys that was working in the office at the time, I said, you know, one of the things I'm going to do for Christmas, right before I retire, is I'm going to douse this entire place. It's so negative and heavy. And what was funny was I had used cornstarch and to make a positive vortex, in a sense, to help increase the energy vibration. Oh. And I got done the dousing, and I went to clean up the cornstarch with a vacuum cleaner, brand new vacuum, and it completely blew up. I mean, black smoke rolling out of it, and I and I started laughing, not because I destroyed it, but I was like, I brought it back to the supply guy, and I was like, you're not going to like me. I said I was trying to vacuum up some negative energy. And he was like, you were what? And I was like, never mind. I said it's broken. So, you know, so it was kind of some of it was very interesting, but you know, going back, because I think everybody tends to ask me the same thing. Were you aware, even though you say it developed in your last 3 years, were you aware prior? Like, did you have any snippets? And kind of looking back in my, you know, earlier years, even when I was back in Afghanistan and everything, I did go through a journal and find an entry where we were on a night mounted patrol in a more active sector, in a mountainous area by Pakistan. And one of the things that we were never to do was, you know, basically stop the convoy, or at least never stop it in a, you know, an ambush, you know, type area where the terrain does not support, you know, giving yourself security. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were moving along and all of a sudden we stopped and I was like, what are we doing? And all of a sudden I heard a voice clear as day go, you need to move the vehicles another 500 meters forward. And, you know, I never really stopped to think where this voice is coming from, but I was like, you know, trying to get folks on the radio to move the vehicles up, and nobody was answering. And of course I'm hearing this voice again, saying very clear. And so, you know, prompted me to move the vehicles up again. And so I'm trying on the radio, nobody's answering, which is so weird. And so I'm sprinting all the way up, you know, in the line of convoys. And here it was very uncommon for people to be smoking and joking, especially on a live combat patrol and, you know, just in a not a very safe area. And I'm like, what are you guys doing? You need to move the vehicles up another 500 meters. And about that time we were going to move the vehicles up, myself and, which oddly enough is that same squad leader that ended up passing. When we were discussing this, we heard a audible, what we believed at the time was to be an IED trying to be detonated. Mm-hmm. And we were carrying, back in those days, everything was prototype, right? And so there was some new technology with basically IED scrambler devices. And we were carrying one of the early versions. And we still believe today that because of that technology that, you know, that at least, you know, me and a lot of other people lived. And, but one of the things I went back was like, where did that voice come from? There was only me and the driver and the gunner in the vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, that wasn't the gunner, because you could barely hear those guys. And I knew it wasn't the driver. And I was like, was that my spirit guide? Was that my guardian angel? I was like, that's something awesome. To keep us safe. And yeah, I was like, it was very clear. So it was really kind of cool to go back and have that captured. But it, you know, it's still like it was yesterday, so to speak, but
that's awesome. So, did the other, like your, what do they call them? Crew. Did they know that you had this ability?
The guys in Afghanistan never knew. And of course, I didn't know either. Right. And so, you know, maybe they're listening to this. Maybe they've caught me on other programs. I don't know. Be like, oh my God, remember Sergeant McMurray, right? He's like, he's a medium now, maybe. But they've never reached out. And I guess, you know, be like, oh my God, what are you doing? There has been a few guys that I've served with, like, dude, you're a medium now. That's pretty cool. Right. And, you know, and people are people regardless of what you do and mm-hmm. so some are very intrigued by it and others kind of, I'm going to pray for you and, you know, walk away, you know, and it's like, okay, I respect that too. And I'm, you know, I'm cool with that. So, wherever they're at, I'm cool with it. So.
Have you ever done any kind of investigation work with the police? Like, I don't know if you ever heard of the one medium that used to be on television, Allison Dubois. She worked with the, I think her local police. I think she
actually, funny you bring her name up. her books were some of the first that I ever read when it came to, you know, and just great, great, you know, and of course some of the series, you know, based on her and everything, with James M. Prague. But I did volunteer for a while, with a nonprofit organization called Find Me. They're still in existence. Oh. And they work with mediums and psychics and dowsers all over the world and on homicide missing person cases. And then I've also worked with other mediums and other folks on homicide investigating, like, you know, unsolved cases. And so sometimes am I asked to kind of come in and a little bit, and some people just reach out on their own as far as family members or whatever. Absolutely. You know, there was a local case that, here right in my own city that, you know, the family reached out directly to me. So sometimes do I work, you know, directly with them, or I have yet to date to work directly with any police, you know, however, because all my other endeavors, keep me pretty busy. And we kind of live, I don't want to say, I really hate to say that I lived in a repressed area, but, my city's a little bit more progressive than other, cities in the state. And, but I don't know about the, you know, the police department, but again, people are people. And if a detective or somebody is looking for answers, you know, you never know who they're going to reach out to.
Do you have like a certain process, like as a paranormal investigator, you know, we like go in, we talk to the clients, try to get to know them, you know, then we start our investigation. Like, is there like a certain procedure you follow to figure out who's there, kind of thing?
So are you talking about in what scenario?
Like for example, like residential, like say, like somebody called you, hey, there's some stuff going on here. Yep. I'd really like you to come in and help me figure it out. You know what I mean? Yep. Like,
great question. And actually what's interesting, I just had a client or a lady reach out to me in that regards. And so what I always do, because there, and you guys know this, is that there's so many scenarios, right? Is it just a genuine, we'll call it haunting? Is it, you know, in what level, or, you know, where is it at? Is it something malevolent, or is it just a, what I call a Joe Schmo spirit hanging out, like grandpa, grandma, right? A loving, supporting one. Or is it the imagination aspect, you know, somebody's psychosis, are we dealing with something, you know, and non-paranormal. And so I always make that assessment prior, because I'm like, number one, I don't want to waste a client's time. And number two, you know, I'm not going to waste my time to actually go to the residence or connect energetically and do all this stuff if it's not founded. You know, okay. And here's the thing is that, so I do vet it out, saying, well, I just don't, you know, jump in, hey, let's go douse this place, or let's go do, you know, I always go, well, let's just see if we're a fit first. Yeah. What's going on? How long has this been going on? Do you own the home? You know, what's the history of the home? What's your guys' history? What, you know, what's going on in the family? You know, all kinds of stuff. And, you know, then, you know, there was one example I remember that the mom, because some people are very forthcoming with all the information, and other people, I don't know why, they're reaching out for answers, but yet it's like pulling nails. It's like, yeah, really?
It's like, give us some information to work with. It's like,
exactly.
And, but, you know, at the same time is, you know, I remember one time a mother was working, or she reached out because a kid, her, I think it was her son, kept on seeing bees in in the closet.
Oh. But
she said there wasn't physically bees in there. She said, you know, sometimes, you know, does that stuff happen? But she goes, we checked in the attic, and she said, there's no hive. And she said, you know, and but he would actually barricade.
Oh my goodness.
Up the, you know, and where, and I was like, well, you know, I know that there's manifestations that happen,
yeah.
And, you know, because that's playing on the fears. And so, yeah. So did we have to go in or, you know, went in and
that would be horrifying for a child.
Yeah. Well, and just think about the kid, right. And something that's playing on the fear of that, you know, like, oh my God, the bees. Yeah. And it's like, so it's, and so he was trying to create a barrier of stuffed animals. And there was a lot of other stuff going on personally in their lives. So it was only adding to, there was a lot of changes in the dynamic of the family. So, of course, it only compounded on top of that. So yeah, so it's, you know, it's interesting because, so I kind of coming back to your question is, I really kind of take my time and make sure it's vetted out before I kind of jump in, so to speak, because number one, two is, you know, I did that in the past where I'd be like, yep, let's go fix some, you know, kind of like, you know, let's load up, lock and load, let's load it up, yeah. Let's go, you know, like
head out,
like a military operation, right? And that's how I envision it with my army of archangels and just kick in the door and do close combat.
Michael, you go over there. Anthony, you go over there.
Yeah.
From the roof, right? And, but what I, you know, was interesting because I bring that up is I kind of went in with that mentality of, well, I got this kick butt team of archangels and, you know, all, you know, this knowledge base, and we're just going to, everybody that needs to go to the light, get your butt, you know, yep. Kind of. But then I had an experience where actually spirit gave me the most vivid dream, and in the dream where I had actually died.
Oh.
And I woke up in a coffin my own funeral. And I was kind of in the back, room. And there was military people, of course, and it was packed. And I was kind of looking out and I was like, holy crap, like there's a lot of people here. And I was kind of like, hey, people do like it, right? And then these military people came up and goes, McMurray, what are you doing? You're supposed to be dead. And they showed me the paper and it was a nice obituary and family's there. And of course, my kids and my wife were crying and, you know, it was so very vivid. Like I was really there and I was so confused. I was like, how can I be here? How can I be dead? I'm alive. And they're like, I don't know, but you better figure it out because we're going to put on a funeral with her. And it was so, you know, I look back at it, it was kind of ludicrous, but at the same time, what they were trying to get across to me is sometimes people cross sometimes people die and they don't know they're dead.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Because of the traumatic situation, they might've had immediate, like, say aneurysm. They might've had, you know, been thrown out of their body in a traumatic accident. They might've been shot. They didn't even realize it. Right. And all of a sudden now they're like, they're confused and they're like, how can I be dead? I was buying groceries. I was just driving to the store. How can I be dead? And so what spirit was really trying to say is have a little bit of darn compassion for those in spirit. And instead of going in like the SWAT team and, you know, like everybody get in, get to the light, saying, you know what? Yes, be very affirmative and direct in your approach, but at the same time, do it with some empathy. And so when you're doing that, you're actually going in and connecting to the soul. Yeah. And saying, hey, you know, you are crossed over or you are deceased. You need to come with me because I'm going to connect you to your loved ones. And so when I started realizing that, I was like, I had this, I don't know, just this big experience. And I was just like, the light bulb went off and I was like, and I had been doing, you know, I had been doing clearings for a couple of years. And I was like, you know, thought here, you know, I had the, you know, everything by the tail. And here, you know, I love it when our egos think we know what the blankety blank we're doing and spirit comes along with the 2x4 and says, yo,
exactly.
And hits us. And I'm like, take it down a notch.
Yeah.
I have something I want to add. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let me just ask. I just want to know, how do you feel, Dean, about doing mini readings tonight?
Let me just give
a shout out. If anybody's interested in a mini reading from Dean, you can call the station at 504-273-7379. That's 504-273-7379. I hope someone can call. Go ahead, Jason.
I'm game for a mini reading, and here's why. I want to see what your thoughts are on this, Dean. I'm just going to sum it up as quick as I can because it's long and drawn out. So I used to be skeptic. I encountered severe poltergeist activity, which turned me into the paranormal world, which I've been a paranormal investigator for about 7.5 years or so. Now, as far back as I can remember, it didn't start making sense until recently. As far back as I can remember, like, I was able to, like, just call things, like how something was going to play out or what the answer was going to be. But I couldn't control, like, if I was going to know the answer, it would just hit me, you know, and I have a friend of mine that could verify that because somebody would say something, I'd be like, dude, this is it or that. And then, like, he's like, how did you know that? I said, I don't know. Okay. So let's fast forward to recently, within the last couple weeks, this is going to sound strange. I don't know if it's me or if someone might be following. We're still trying to figure this out, but everywhere I'm going, and I mean, everywhere, lights are blowing out, fuses are blowing out, it's nonstop. Like everywhere I get, whether it's my house or if I'm at the store, when I'm at work, I've had my work truck lights just blow out several times. It's starting to be like, okay, I'm trying to figure out, is it me or is it something following me? You know, I talked to Sean about it, I want to see, like, what do you think? Like,
what, here's my take on it, and I give it to Ron Real. I'm going to say, when are you going to step into your abilities and quit screwing around with stuff? Because I get it that you stepped in the paranormal world very seriously because of your experience. But now, when are you going to take it another step and start developing your clairs? Not only will this help you in your paranormal investigations, but also because spirit is really, and I speak to this from experience. I've actually had to clip wires because I thought it was going to start a fire. And there was nothing, and we've had it checked out from electricians. There was nothing wrong. But the thing that I would share is when we shift electricity in such a vast quantity, we're shifting the vibrational, you know, limits. And so the lights around us are one of the weakest points, right? And that filament is going to either burst, or it sounds like maybe a welder going off. Yeah. Or whatever, and we hear that bzzz, and then all of a sudden the light goes out, or it just goes poof. Yep. Or sometimes even the glass can break. There's a lot of different ones. So absolutely, are you not only shifting consciousness, but you're shifting energy at such a high rate because the spirit is really trying to get you to step into a deeper sense of awareness. Now, for you, if you go, you know, I'm not too into it. I don't really want to do it. You can't make me do it. Whatever. You know, I did do it. You can't prove it. But the thing is if you don't do it, obviously we know that there is no judgment, but there's a reason, right? We know this. And obviously you know that.
But when you're
being urged at that level, I don't think, to be really honest with you, I don't feel anything malevolent with it. I don't feel anything like something trying to follow you or stalk you, anything being subversive, I feel that it's just trying to, like, the 2x4 effect, right? Yeah, and it's like, I need to get your attention. We need to do things now because it feels like you need to step in your awareness to develop that. So down the road, I don't know what it is you're going to experience, but whatever you need to develop now is going to aid you later. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what I'm trying to figure out is, like, I'm into it. So it's like, I'm trying to figure how do I, like, control it or get to that level to where,
Quit trying to control it and let it be.
Okay.
Just allow it. So because our minds want to control things, we want to put it in a box. Just start wherever you are and pull on a thread.
Okay.
So you know, when we let go of the, you know, the how and the why or what, you know, it's just, it just evolve. It just is. So I know that sounds very, Dean, that sounds pretty cryptic, but at the same time, when we stop trying to control things and saying, well, I want to know how this is going to look or be or whatever, it's like, wherever you are, just start there. If it's, you know, if it's learning about, just starting to learn about the clairs or saying, yeah, that one sounds cool. How do I develop that one? And just start there. And then the rest, of course, you know, as everybody knows, will follow and it'll just take on a life of its own. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. I appreciate that. Yeah.
No, absolutely. No, that's great. That's
cool. Yeah. It's been real interesting the last couple of weeks.
How did you say something, Sean?
Yeah, but did you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
I hear you, Pap.
Oh, okay. All right, good. How about me? I need a reading.
Please. All right. So for you. And am I speaking to Pat? Is that correct?
Pap.
Oh, Pat. Sorry.
Pat. That's a nickname.
Okay.
Master of disaster.
The master of disaster, is it?
Yep. Mean.
And Pop, did you have any specific question, or did you just want whatever's coming forward?
Whatever comes to you.
Yep, absolutely. Well, the first thing that I want to share is when we talking about archangels really quick is the energy of Archangel Michael. Okay. And it's interesting to me because I start feeling like the energy of Michael is getting diluted a bit. It's almost like, and I know this sounds like a weird analogy, but somebody pouring a pitcher of water over his head, right? And so it's almost like if you're feeling, I don't know if there has been a disconnect or a diminished connection, but the thing is, it's almost like a watered down version of Michael. And it's interesting because maybe it's been feeling like Michael's energy has been too strong around you. But at the same time, whatever scenarios that you're putting yourself in require extra protection. So that's probably why you're feeling the added, you know, it feels like you got five weighted blankets on you or something. I do want to recognize one specifically in spirit that is stepping forward. You do have a male that is stepping forward on the father's side of the family. Right away, I do understand that, oddly enough, is that do see American flag associated with him. So I'm understanding that he did serve in the military in some capacity. And then one of the things that I'm also understanding is that I smell a lot of smoke around him. So I'm understanding that it was a smoker. Oh, and oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's my dad.
That's your dad? Okay. So very cool. And so can I ask what branch he served in?
He was in the Navy.
He was in the Navy. Okay. And you were in the Navy as well, or you served in the Navy as well, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, thank you for your service, by the way. I didn't get to say
thank
that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. And I want to share really quick, for your message from him is, he says two times, and I keep on almost seeing the mathematical equation, like two times something, but it's like about multiplying things two times, like take it two times above everything else. So almost applying it two levels above something else. That's what it feels like. So understand that whatever you're getting ready to do, it almost feels like you need to put two more notches in it or take it two levels above. So it was really interesting because I was like, nobody told me there was going to be math tonight. And so I was like, what's going on here? But it's really cool that he was talking about that. I don't know if that makes sense or not, but, you know, taking things up, to the next level. And then the other thing is just really, he talks about really being with somebody that feels to me like, they were very recently sick, and he takes me to the stomach area with them. So I don't know if there was gastrointestinal issues going on with whoever was just in the hospital, but the thing is that he talks about being with them. So I hope that makes sense to you. You can validate.
It makes a ton of sense. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. One short one for me. My turn. Okay.
All right. Did you have any specific questions? Or?
I just wanted to know, like, kind of getting bored with things in my life. I know it's probably cause of COVID. I just want to see if you see anything in my, let's say, love life or my career. You know,
sure. So. Okay.
No.
Is that where I go like this? You are supposed to know
darkness. I just see darkness.
Dark. Come. I got to answer. What's up with that? I don't know. No, just kidding. So for you. So one of the things, obviously, Gabriel is hanging around really close, and understandably, anybody that is connecting. You know, using their sixth sense, of course, Gabriel is going to be involved. It's interesting for you, though, because we're dealing with something that is starting to what I would call is like manifest on a new level. OK, it's almost like a new style or a new way of communicating. Now, I get it. There's telepathic. There's, you know, reading vibes. There's all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like you're reading light waves, like you're reading like and that's what I see. It's almost like ribbons or waves of light. And I don't know if it's interpreting these colors or waves of light, but that's what I keep on being shown. And it's like it's communicating to you. And I also hear music, which is so wild. So I don't know if it's, you know, connecting with your spirit guides, maybe on a different level, but understand it's almost starting to communicate in a whole new way.
Oh, that's weird. Cause I was trying to find, listening to a podcast about you should name your angel, your guardian angel. And I asked my guardian angel, I was asking him or her or it, or what are you, I don't know what they are. If they wanted me to call something, do they have a special name? And it's weird that you said light, like you hear light and music. And I thought, maybe he's trying to tell me something.
But, so through that, maybe a new way to communicate with your angels on a higher realm through it. Does music, and I get it, music speaks to us all. I get that piece, but does music speak to you on a whole different level than most?
I don't know. Lately I've been playing more music, like a more classical type music than I normally do, or like a jazz kind of music, but, not specifically. No. I mean, I've been trying to, like I said, I want to communicate with my guardian angel. Cause they said you should talk to your angel every day. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, who's they? I mean,
spiritualist, even like Catholic priests. Sure. There's a show that I listen to, a Catholic talk radio. It's really cool because they have these different priests that aren't your typical priests, and that they had a segment on talking to your angels.
Yep.
Your angels. Yep. Everybody's born with one.
Absolutely.
So I thought, and they said you can even name your angel, so you can give it a name. Sure, so you can say, but I was trying to communicate with my angel asking, can you tell me what you like to be called? You know,
sure.
But,
hey, Jenny. But,
yes.
I think we have, I just got a text message. We have somebody trying to call in.
Okay. Are they trying? Are they getting anything?
It says it just keeps ringing and ringing.
Hmm.
Let me tell them, try again.
Yeah. Ask.
They with me in the queue, guys.
Oh, you're in the queue.
Hello.
Oh,
hello.
Hi. Hello. You're on the air.
Hey, there hello. He is.
My name's Dean.
How you doing?
Hi. Do you? Would Dean you like
meet a, Dean?
Hey, Dean.
Would you like a mini reading from Dean?
I would love to have this.
Okay.
Dean, can I ask, did you have a question tonight or were you?
No, I'm just interested in the mini psychic reading.
Oh, absolutely. So one of the things, Dean, for you, maybe we're connecting to another you know, reality. Maybe that I'm talking to myself. Just kidding. So Dean, for you. So a few things do jump out at me right away.
Okay.
One of the things over on the mother side of the family, right? I started connecting right away to heavier smoke. So I'm understanding there was a male that's stepping forward on the mom's side of the family that was a smoker. And then the other thing that I kept on tasting was a tremendous, not just a little, but a tremendous amount of sweets. So it was like I was like, dude, slow down. It was like everything from like peanut brittle to butterscotch that like had an affinity. I don't want to call it an addiction, but an affinity for sweets. And I also feel that even though, you know, like probably most of us that he shouldn't, but it was almost like something that he had always like sneak, right? And the other thing, which is very interesting because I actually hear them, he's rattling them in a can, is like salted peanuts or nuts was something that I also taste are very specific. There is also a connection to him with heavy machinery. I also get that I actually see, if you think of the big, humongous mining dump trucks. I don't know if he ran one of those or worked in a mine, but that's what I'm shown. But I do feel that there was a connection to him with heavy machinery. Ugh, can't even speak. Does that make sense to you, Dean?
Well, there's a tie with my dad who operated heavy machinery. I do not. I tend to be, you know, tend to do like the sweet side, more of the chocolate side than like the peanut brittle type of thing. And
sure.
Yeah, I do occasionally have a canister of Planters here at work. sure. That I snack on, yeah.
Sure. So one of the things going forward though, really for you, Dean, is and here's what I hear is for you, is spirit's guidance for you. It's all about new beginnings. I get it that we're in December. It's really the end of 2021. We got a whole month or pretty much a whole month left, but 2020, I'm already a year ahead, wishful thinking, right? So one of the things is that understanding that there's a whole lot of new beginnings for you. I mean, it feels like a lot of new things. This could be anything from a new vehicle to new appliances. So a lot of newness coming into your awareness. So the thing that I would share is sometimes these might also show up as inconveniences, because when you get the new, guess what? The old has to go. And sometimes what that happens as well is where appliances will die on you. Old vehicles will start having issues. And so the thing is, I would just stay aware of that. If you're starting to notice things, and I'm starting to see some milestones, if you will, or telltale signs of, hey, I think maybe the dishwasher is going, you know, and understand those things. Oh, what's that?
Not again.
Did you just recently replace it? Okay. So, well, that's this validation right there. So just, you know, and all these really are
beginnings with some music projects that would definitely be a new beginning that I'm undertaking. Nice. This coming year.
Nice. Good for you. Good for you. This is good things. 2021 for you, Dean, is going to be spectacular. It looks like somebody bedazzled the holy bejesus right out of it. And it's really, I mean, yeah, it doesn't have an ups and downs, but at the same time, it holds the energy really sparkly for you. So it's good.
Wow. Well, thank you, Dean, for joining us tonight. We're going to have to wrap things up. I'm so sorry. Dean, well, thank you so much. Thank you. And Dean, thank you so much for joining us tonight. It was delightful, very interesting. I learned a lot. Tell our listeners, especially where they can get in touch with you.
Yeah, if you want to check out more about me, you can jump over to my website at www.themilitarymedium.com. And if you want to jump out on social media, The Military Medium, you know, over on Facebook, I'm on most platforms. Dean, but go ahead.
It's okay.
Oh, I'm active most on Facebook, but you can check all that out out there. So the military medium.
Great. Well, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, Sean, tell our audience where they can get in touch with you to do a paranormal investigation. I guess we lost Sean.
Thank you.
Sean, you there?
Yes.
He's sleeping, Sean.
Can you hear me? I'm here. Now I'm talking. I don't know. Can you hear me? No.
Yeah, I'll take it,
okay,
Sean.
Sorry.
You can reach Pittsburgh Paranormal Society on Facebook. Feel free to send us a message, send us any audio or video you have questions about. We might be able to help you answer. If we don't respond right away, you know, just give us a little bit of time because we're all busy like everybody else. Also, check us out on Instagram, Pittsburgh_Paranormal_Society, where we try to post our latest investigations, some activity we got, and different things for maybe we know the answer, maybe leave it up to the viewers to see what they think. But okay, be sure to check us out on one of those two. And you know, thank you very much.
Please check out my author page, Jane Nicasio. My trilogy, From the Sky and Rocky the Rockefeller Christmas Tree, is available also on Audible. So you can get your Audible. Remember, it's www.audibletrial.com, Chasing Prophecy Radio. You can find it there too, the link. And if you think you'd be a great sponsor for our show, please email us at chasingprophecyradio.com gmail.com. Remember to like us on Facebook. Guys, stay safe. Good evening. And thanks for tuning in to Chasing Prophecy.